Well, this morning, I want to call your attention to a passage of Scripture in Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, and it is found in chapter 2. And today I want to talk to you about battles, and the Bible. And we're going to talk about the two truth test. What in the world are you talking about, Pastor? Well, we're going to see that from the scripture we're in this morning, and you'll see that this is a very, very relevant truth for us, particularly in the time in which we are living today. So let's jump right into the Word. I want to read the Scripture for you. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In the second chapter, Timothy, that's where Paul begins to charge young Timothy, his protege. He had, as an apostle, positioned Timothy there. I believe Timothy had an apostolic call on his life as well. He appointed elders in the city and so forth. And Paul charged him. And he said, you're to be like a soldier. There's going to be hardship. You're going to be like an athlete. And you're going to have to play by the rules. You're going to be like a farmer that works hard and sows that seed and to live by faith. And then he shares with him some major truths about Jesus. And then when he gets to verse 14, he says, remind them, that is the people that Timothy was over, that he was teaching, that he was leading. He said, remind them of these things. Charging them, this shows that Timothy had been entrusted with authority. Charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they increase to more ungodliness. Verse 17, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who, having strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now this is a very, very loaded passage of Scripture and very, very relevant for our culture today. Holy Spirit, be our teacher now. Father, open your word to us. May we hear what the Holy Spirit would be saying to this congregation today, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to call your attention back to verse 14 and verses 16. He said, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of their hearers. Verse 16. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Now here's the first statement I want to make to you as I've observed this text and studied it. I want to charge you today. Don't get pulled into useless word battles and babblings. We're going to talk about what that means. Don't get pulled into that. We're to avoid it. This word shun means to avoid, to stay away from. In body language terms, it looks like this. I'm saying no to this, and I'm distancing myself from it. So whatever these babblings are, whatever these word battles are, we're to like stay away from them and give our attention to something much, much more important and much, much more truthful. All right, you got it? Don't get pulled into useless word battles and babblings. We are living in a time in our culture not unlike Timothy had to deal with. Timothy was charged here for the edification and the equipping of the saints that lived in the area of Ephesus. He was under the apostolic charge of the Apostle Paul, and I believe he carried an apostolic mantle on his own life. He had a lot of battles he had to fight, and Paul had to call him up and say, "You have not been given a spirit of fear, young man, but you've been given love and power and soundness of mind." He has to warn him about certain people. Paul knew these guys. In his first letter he wrote to Timothy, he talked about Hymenaeus, and talked about someone named Alexander the coppersmith and all the harm they had done Paul. In other words, they came gunning for Paul when he was there, and he is warning Timothy, they're going to gun for you, and already are, and they're picking out people in the flock, and they are leading them astray with their false teaching, namely that the resurrection's already passed. Just think about how that would mess with your belief if you started believing that, that you missed the resurrection. In other words, you missed the second coming. You've missed all that. Where does that leave you? And it can mean a lot more than that, but that's what Paul says. They're teaching the resurrection's already passed. Probably had a lot of Gnostic belief in it as well, that it's really not a literal bodily resurrection. The Gnostics taught that Jesus didn't really raise bodily. It was spiritual. They really taught he was just a spirit, didn't have a body, and all that kind of stuff. And that was a plague. It was a cancer that had to be cut out of a number of the early churches. It's amazing the number of times that Paul, in writing his letters to the newly established churches throughout Asia Minor, he has to deal with issues of false teaching. And here in 2 Timothy, if we were to read on into chapter 4 and he talks about the last days, he tells us about the age we're living in and the characteristics of that age. Things like they'll have a form of godliness, but no power. And here in this section, we're going to see it talks about teaching that lets you live the way you want to live, sin the way you want to sin, and think there's no repercussion for it. So don't get pulled into useless word battles and arguments and battlings. The enemy's so clever and subtle, he can pull you into all kinds of sidebar arguments and have nothing to do with what God's called you to do and how you are to live your life. It's amazing how we can be drawn into other people's arguments. Think about how that can happen on social media. Someone will post something provocative, and it sets you off. Or it starts setting people off, and they start posting, and then other people start posting, 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 posting. And then you've wasted hours on something that has nothing to do with what you're called to do, has nothing to do with who you're called to be, and it's a bad stewardship of your time. It is a distraction. It is a method the enemy employs to get you into word battles and arguments instead of focused on hearing what the Spirit is saying to you that you need to be doing in the here and now where you live for your life, your family, the ministry that God's entrusted you with. I appreciate all those amens. Don't get pulled into useless word battles and babblings. Isn't it interesting that Paul calls this false teaching like babbling? Babble. Babble. Tower of Babel. Babbling. Babble. Babylon. The spirit of Babylon is behind a lot of the babblings. What's that? Read the book of Revelation. The world system, the adulterous, idolatrous world system over which the Antichrist will lead, And in our culture, you see so many things being maneuvered and aligned, positioned for that time, whenever it is. None of us know exactly when it's going to be, when the Antichrist comes on the scene and will be hailed as the Savior of the world. He'll be seen as a messenger of peace. And those people who would contend for the truth and stand for the Lord Jesus and try to win the world to Christ by preaching the gospel will be seen as bigots, as heretics, out of touch with the modern age and the world in which we're living. And all of this is being aligned. And I'm not trying to get into gloom and doom. I'm trying to say, hey, we need to be alert and sober to this age in which we're living and not get in these word battles and arguments. Now, even apart from those kind of issues, false teaching is extremely dangerous. Some of it can be lethal. And aside from that, all the things that we can get pulled into and drawn to that are just empty, useless, vain. They won't matter tomorrow, won't matter next week, sure won't matter 100 years from now, and certainly won't matter in eternity, but if we're not careful, we'll dive in and saturate and marinate in that stuff. I remember just a few years ago, and I don't know how many times that I got this sent to my inbox about a prophecy someone made. And it didn't come true. And when I was listening to it, the man said, this word I know. He said, I spend 40 hours a week in the news, listening to the news. Listen, that's not what you need to listen to if you're looking for a word from God. You're going to hear a lot of babblings. And I'm not making that as a political statement, but let me tell you, there's a lot of babble on both sides of the aisle. I'm here to represent the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is what is needed. And that's where the warfare is. That's what the enemy came for, the very first temptation. Did God really say that? He wants to use babblings and false teachings to create doubt and confusion and fear and unbelief to get you away from believing it is written. That's just the truth. So don't get pulled into that. It's needless. It's certainly not helpful. And it leads to ruin. Secondly, I want to share with you, out of verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now notice that. Diligent. He's talking to Timothy in particular. By principle, it applies to us all, but particularly to people who teach and preach God's word. And it's applicable to us all for sure, but he's telling Timothy, you stay in the Word, son. You cut it straight. That's what rightly divide means, to cut it straight. And he said, so you can present yourself approved to God, a workman who doesn't have to be ashamed. In other words, there'll be a day of accountability for how each of us will be accountable for how we've handled the Word. And the book of James teaches us, especially those that minister the Word, there's a higher level of accountability. So we're to be diligent. So that brings me to my second statement that I want to declare over you. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus, determined to dive deeper into God's Word. The safest way or the best way you can stay safe from the deception of the enemy that can come through all this babbling is to know the Word of God. The Scripture is so clear of this. And Paul is telling Timothy, son, you cut it straight. You be diligent. And I'm grateful that I'm given the privilege to have time each day to spend time in God's Word. And I try to do that hours and hours every day. I want to spend time. I'm contemplating. I'm meditating. I'm studying. That's my call. That's my charge. So that when I stand before you, I can teach God's Word, hopefully in a way that will be helpful for you and that you that will be understandable and so forth. To rightly divide the Word of God. Now let me share some words with you about that. It's important because we all want to be like the Bereans. They search the Scripture to know that the things they're hearing is so. What I share on Sunday is never to take the place of your own personal time with the Lord, your own time in the Word. Hopefully, it will complement that. Hopefully, it will add to that. The word inspiration. Paul tells Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration. In other words, God's breathed on it. It's got life in it. It's powerful. The book of Hebrews tells us. So inspiration, you've got to start there. I believe the book's the book. It's God's book. It's the truth. It's the standard by which we live. That God superintended, watched over, and delivered this truth to us in a way that we can completely trust it. We can trust the words in the book. We can trust not just some of the book, but all the book. Inspiration. And then interpretation. That's rightly dividing. You want to accurately handle God's Word. And interpretation usually is preceded by investigation. You want to investigate the Scripture, not to prove anything, but so that you yourself can be approved before God. You want to see what God says so that you can live your life in a way that's in line with what God says. And so you're searching the Scriptures like the Bereans. You're spending time. You're studying. You're diligently doing that. That's investigation. Then you get to interpretation. That is, what did this mean? Like, what was Paul intending when he wrote these words to Timothy? You start there. What was he meaning for Timothy to understand? We're going to rightly interpret it. So when you get to the place where you feel like what was meant originally from the person God used to give that message, what he meant, and the context surrounding that, then you draw from that and you look for explanation. And now the meaning of it, how do you explain that, what it means? And that leads to application. How can I apply this to my life? How can I go into what Paul wrote to young Timothy and get the meaning of it and apply it to my life? And that results in transformation, change. The Word becomes incarnate. You begin to be transformed. And as you live that heed, observe, and obey that Word, then that leads to multiplication. Other people are influenced and are brought to Christ. That's kind of the process there. Nothing else can substitute for you spending time in God's Word. It's so important. I can't overestimate how important it is for you to read your Bibles. Vacation Bible School. This is a whole week that we set aside so that children can come here and have fun, have food, and hang out with other kids, but in the middle of that, the meat of it, is they're learning about Jesus, they're learning about God's Word, they're being taught on their level in a way that they can understand it, just like right now over in Children's Church, in those classes for our kids, even the little bitty ones, you have teachers that are taking Scripture and explaining it to them on their level. That's the reason we have Children's Church. So it's on their level where they can understand. And they sing songs that kids enjoy singing and so forth. Vacation Bible School. That's the reason that we support like the Gideons and people like Dave and Jamie and others that are part of the Gideons are involved in getting the Scriptures to all the nations of the world. And people like Mike Sledge, who's given away I don't know how many tons of Scriptures, literature, CDs, all the way back to, I don't know if you were doing it during 8-track days, but I know he's doing it with cassettes and CDs and now flash drives. It's amazing how much word that man has distributed. He's been a faithful sower of God's word. The word of God is important. And listen, as I stand here today, my goal is not to please you. My goal is not to entertain you. Now, I don't want to be extremely boring, but my goal is not to entertain you. It's to edify you and educate you, to equip you so that the end result is we're more like Jesus and we're living more like Jesus lived and we're doing more of what Jesus did. Why? So folks can get saved and come to know Jesus, rinse and repeat, and keep her going. Determined to dive deeper into God's Word. Sometimes I don't think we fully appreciate the treasure we have access to called the Holy Bible. How many of you got at your house? I've got bunches of them. And now in the age of the smartphone, I have the scripture with me, the Bible with me all the time. I mean, you can just start scrolling anywhere, anytime. I've got mine downloaded on my phone where if I'm not around Wi-Fi or a cell tower, I can still read my Bible. We need to have a deep love and reverence and appreciation for God's Word. Now, I know I'm preaching to the proverbial choir here this morning because you're sitting here hearing someone preach God's Word. So, two thumbs up for that. Let me tell you about a man by the name of William Tyndale. Born in 1494, several decades after the printing press was created, which revolutionized the known world of that day. We take that for granted. But that was a technology in their day that changed everything. In that day, the scripture was only available in Latin. And the only people that spoke Latin were the priests in the church. The common people, ordinary folk, didn't have Bibles they could read. Didn't have it written in their languages. William Tyndale, who began to be influenced by the fires of Reformation started by a monk by the name of Martin Luther. God started dealing with him, and he was a Bible scholar. He was fluent in languages. He knew Hebrew and he knew Greek. You know what he dared to do? He dared to give his life to putting the Bible in English for the first time. He translated the Bible out of Hebrew, out of the Greek, into which is the language, Koine Greek, of the New Testament era. He translated it into the language English. The first English Bible. And guess what? The King of England, King Henry VIII, and the leaders of the church began to persecute him. He was branded a heretic. Now he's a man on the run. And he did this at the age of 30. Common folk now were getting a New Testament. And they were able to read God's Word for the first time. Can you imagine that? All that they knew before was what somebody in a fancy suit was telling them that God said, or what the church was sending down the pike to tell them to do. You can do this, you can't do that. You can't do this, but you can do this. All that. Boom, boom, boom. But now, all of a sudden, they personally had access to a Bible of their own. And they could read it. And the Holy Spirit could be their teacher. And they started getting a hold of some of what Luther got a hold of and Tyndale got a hold of. And so they started chasing him like a hound would chase a fox. He had to hide out. He went down to Germany and did some work. Then he ended up in Belgium doing some work. And the religious leaders, or the government of that day, they're not sure, just one, made a deal with a man by the name of Henry Phillips who infiltrated the circle that William Tyndale was a part of. Over time, he got to know some people that knew Tyndale. Over time, he got to know Tyndale, and then he strategically set the trap. He was going to carry Tyndale to his house and share a meal with him. On the way, he took him down a narrow alleyway. When they got in that alleyway, hemmed him in on both ends, and they arrested him. Carried him to Brussels, Belgium, put him in prison. He stayed there for a year. After a year, they strangled him to death and took his body and tied it to a stake and set him on fire and burned up his remains. Why? Because he believed that people should be able to have a Bible they could hold in their hands and read for themselves. He and others like him were persecuted, bled and died and gave their life so that you and I could hold a Bible in our hands and read it for ourselves. And now here we are. I can be out on back 40 in Timbuktu, pull out my phone and read the whole Bible if I want to. Lord, forgive us for having Bibles that sit on our shelves but don't find a way into our heart. Forgive us for the wide open doors of access to the treasures of Holy Writ, and yet we don't step across that threshold and enjoy their delicacies and eat the meat and drink the milk of the Word. Lord, forgive us. Correct us. Convict us this morning. I pray that every person in this room this week will spend more time in God's Word than they did the last week. May there be a fire awakened within us to get serious about getting in the book and getting the book in us in order to obey it, align our lives with it, live by it. Determined to dive deeper into God's Word. Can you imagine how long it took Paul to write the letters that we so easily can read today? Sitting in a prison cell, cold, dark, damp, maybe with a flickering candlelight, with a manuscript, one of his guys sitting by trying to pen what Paul's saying, dipping that quill in ink, and writing those words with the sweet nectar of the Holy Spirit's inspiration down so that there would come a time so that people like Tyndale would be able to take it and mass produce it and put it in hands like we hold today, what we hold in our hands today. We need to treasure this, not ignore it. We need to cling to it, not run from it. We will have to give an account of how we stewarded God's Word. Listen, you can't live your Christian life without it. If you're struggling with sin this morning, yes, you need the help of the Holy Spirit, and you need the book the Holy Spirit authored. The psalmist said it this way, "Wherein shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to your word." The psalmist wrote it another way. I have hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Which tells us if we're not hiding his word in our heart, we're going to be more prone to sin against God. And sin is a big deal. That today's church says little of. Determined to dive deeper into God's Word. Thirdly, out of 2 Timothy 16 and 17, but shun these profane and idle babblings. Notice that they will increase to more ungodliness. Notice the acceleration of ungodliness when we failed to rightly divide the Word and did it diligently study the Scriptures, but yet are influenced by the vain, profane babblings, vain, empty, useless babblings, give ourselves to all that, that's just going to lead us deeper into ungodliness and sin. And the Word leads us deeper into the ways of God and the will of God. The more we go in, we have the Word of God and obey it, the more we're going to be in the will of God and learn the ways of God. That's important. It's kind of like an option we have. What are we going to give ourselves to? The way of the world, the babblings, the profane things, or the way of the Word, the holy things, the precious things, the pure things. And it's like cancer. This word here in the Greek, cancer, gangrene, which we get the English word gangrene. In that day, they didn't have the medical terminology we do today. It was something that ate away a person's life on the inside physically, like gangrene would do, that infection, or cancer would do, that would just eat away at someone's life. Paul's telling young Timothy, son, you watch what these people are being taught. You diligently make sure you're cutting it straight with them so that they'll know what God's Word says, because people like Hymenaeus and Philetus are out there saying stuff the Word doesn't say, adding to what the Word says, taking from what the Word says, bringing other writings and adding to the Word. Stay away from that, because it's like cancer. It will undermine people's faith. In another place, he talks about people's faith being made shipwreck. And listen, cancer's a bad word, in the medical field, in the physical arena, right? But we need to have alert signs in the spiritual arena that the devil loves to spread cancer into people's lives. Those things that will begin to eat away at the foundation that you need to be living your life on. And so that brings me to this statement. Discern those teachings that can overthrow your faith. In our culture today, and I wish this were not so, I wish I could say it's just a rumor. But I've read too many instances and even heard from their own words, numbers of pastors who are now leaving the gospel they once preached, publicly announcing that they are deconstructing their faith in God. That they realized they were just playing a game, that it wasn't true. Well, let me tell you about somebody that's done that. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. And I'm quoting somebody on that. Let me remind you that Jesus said there will be those in that day that said, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? Didn't we preach in your name? And Jesus said, I will say to them, depart from me. Now notice this. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Discern those teachings that can overthrow your faith. If you're following somebody, if you're listening to somebody that's causing you to have doubt and unbelief in the integrity of the Word, shut her down. Shut her down. Run. We are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. If somebody's telling you, oh, they've got an upgrade, it's not like it used to be, it's different now. If they're preaching you a gospel that's different than the one you read here in this book that the Apostle Paul preached, that the early church preached, Paul himself said, let that man be accursed. He said, even if an angel comes to you and starts telling you something different concerning the gospel, let him be accursed. I unequivocally, I unashamedly testify to you this morning that I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is, still is, and has been the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Jew first and also to the Greek. We have got to stay with the "it is written" method of Jesus. When the devil came trying to tempt and seduce and deceive him, he didn't get into some word battle with him. He didn't get into some argument. He didn't get tangled up in some theological argument with him. He didn't try to persuade him. He didn't get into the sharing of opinions back and forth. He just stood and said, "It is written." Another time he said, "Get behind me, Satan," when he knew what he was hearing did not square with what Father had said. We've got to live that same way. There are issues in our culture, and here's the way the enemy works. There is a new, quote, Jesus, end quote, that's being constructed. And I believe it's a gradual thing to build this new idea of Jesus. And it would sound something like this. I belong to Jesus. I belong to God. I can do what I want to. No, 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 no. No, no, no. If you belong to Jesus and you belong to God, you're supposed to do what they want you to do. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your spirit and your body. And your body. And your body. In other words, well, you know, I know all that Old Testament stuff. In the early church, you know, they were still hanging on to a bunch of that, but we live in the progressive era. We've been enlightened. We've been illuminated. Well, if you have, it's because Satan has appeared as a messenger of light and deceived you. Again, go back to where it started in the garden. Has God really said that? Is that what God said? You can almost hear. Is that what it really means? You know, there's more for you. Be careful when somebody's got more that you can't find in the book. That you can't find within the boundaries of Scripture. And let me tell you something. The boundaries that Scripture draws, there is so much territory in there about so much stuff we don't fully understand. You can spend your life mining the treasures and not get close to exhausting just a pension of them. But the enemy wants to take you out of bounds. He wants you to break the rules. Even in our dealing with people, you know, sometimes stuff in culture can make you very mad. So the enemy will say, okay, you can be mad about that, but let's get you mad in the flesh and start acting like the world. That way you lose your influence as a messenger of Jesus Christ. He's coming at us every way. Only way we can do this right is by the grace of God, being sensitive to the Spirit of God, and know the Word of God, and always contend to have the love of God in our heart for whoever we're addressing, no matter who they are. Discern those teachings that can overthrow your faith. And this new Jesus, He's all right. You know, even though the real Jesus said, in the beginning, God created them male and female. In other words, that was God's idea. The assignment of gender at the beginning of a person's physical existence was chosen by God. The Bible says that in your mother's womb, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. God put in you what you need to live your life for Him. In other words, He designed you the way He wants you to be. And when you get born again, the Spirit comes and makes you alive unto God so you can live that life for Him. He does have a plan and purpose for your life. So the Word says that there's a male and there's a female. And the Word says that the male and the female came together and they left. The man left father and mother and the two became one. That's holy marriage. That was God's idea. A man, a woman, and marriage, and then have kids. That's a family, a nuclear family. That's God's design. That is God's idea. And that's what Jesus stood on, and that's what Jesus taught as well. But, quote, the new Jesus, 2.0. God's all right now if two men want to marry. Two women want to marry. You see, our culture now has moved past just the toleration. Now we're into the celebration. We have a whole month here where people in our city are celebrating it. I love those people. I've been praying for those people. But I'll tell you something. I cannot condone it. I cannot agree with it and be faithful to the book. Because I'm going to go with the book. But it's going back to the old country song. You know, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Or some people go further. Well, if you love somebody so much, how can it be wrong? Well, I would say, if it's wrong, how can it be love? Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Every place you find in Scripture, men laying with men, women laying with women, it is referred to as a sinful act. And listen, sleeping with somebody of the opposite sex when you're not married, that's fornication. That's sinful. That's wrong. That's ungodly. That's not honorable. God can't approve of that and be God because He's holy and He's the one that sets the standard. But what do you think about it, preacher? Well, I'm trying to tell you. But beyond that, here's the truth. It doesn't matter what I think about it. You shouldn't base your moral life on what any man thinks. You should base it on what God's Word says. Because God is your creator. God is the author of Scripture. And He's the one that every workman has to give an account to. And you got people like Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander that Paul got into name calling. It was so bad, he wanted everybody to know, you stay away from Hymenaeus. Bill Johnson had to do that a few years back with a young man that had gone through their school and got off in a bunch of New Age mumbo jumbo that was way outside the boundary of Scripture. And he, with a broken heart, had to get up before his whole congregation and say, you know, we want to pray for this young man. We want him to turn. But he is off limits. Because it's like cancer. Your faith has to be in God's Word, not plus something, not less something, but in God and His Word and the Gospel in Jesus Christ. The last thing, and I'm finished, and this is that two-truth test that I want to bring to your attention. After Paul talks about Hymenaeus and Philetus and all that's going on, the false teaching, and about how we've got to be diligently in the Word, he said, now having said all that, in other words, nevertheless, having said all that, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, two things here. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's a two-truth test right there. Two-truth test. Now the seal, that word seal, here's a picture. In Roman culture of that day, the emperors, the kings, when they were given an edict, an order, and they would write it out on parchment and roll it up, they would take hot wax and put it across where the envelopes rolled up together and seal it together. They didn't have the lick 'em, stick 'em that we've got. They sealed it together with hot wax. And then that emperor or king would take a signet. Sometimes it would be his ring, and he'd press it down to it, or a handheld signet, push it down into that hot wax. And if that seal hadn't been broken, it was a guarantee, a verification that what was inside of that was approved by the emperor or the king. But if that seal had been broken. And Paul is telling Timothy here, here's the seal. Here's what's in the real deal, the authentic deal. It's not if somebody's out there saying, I met with God. I had this experience, and I know the Bible says this, or I know those apostles saying that, but I met with God, and I got this new thing. No, no, no. It's not somebody out there telling you they know God, they've met with God, they've got a revelation of God. What's really important is the seal that the person has that God knows. God knows who are His. We're told, Paul told the Ephesians, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's your guarantee. You're going to get everything Jesus died to give you. You're going to get a glorified body. You're going to get the whole package one day. But that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He lives inside of you. And He will bear witness with what is true. Don't let someone's convincing, persuasive words get you to ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit that lives in you, and you walk away from what the Spirit's bearing witness to into some profane, vain, idle babbling. And I've seen this happen where something blows up on somebody, and they said, you know, I knew something was off about that, but it just seemed to be so right. And this scripture went with that scripture, and it just looked so good. But I felt like something was off. But they stepped into it, and it brought ruin. Or it brought damage. It brought destruction. And even when you're well grounded in the Word, the enemy will try to take the Word and twist it some to get you to think that what you're doing that God can't approve of, that He'll overlook that because you're doing all these other things. These are the two truths. God knows who are His. And that second one's so important. Let him who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Here's another way you'll know if it's the Lord or not. Is it leading you into sin? Is it leading you into iniquity? Is it leading you into a lifestyle that the scripturally says that God does not condone or approve of? If it is, it is not the Lord. If it is, it is not the Holy Spirit. If it is, it's not square with the Bible. And again, here's the deal. What the Bible teaches is what's best for all of us. It's the best life we can live. We find the weight of that life in this book. Not something different. Oh, I finally found who I really am. And you step into an iniquitous way of life. That's not the Holy Spirit. You have to say, I don't believe the Holy Scripture if you're going to say that's right. And I'm not saying one sin's worse than the other, but we are told here it's like cancer. It will cause people to overthrow their faith. These things. Let him who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And he has in mind people who have departed from the purity of the Christian faith into iniquity. If you're going to name the name of Christ, then you have to depart from that. Quieter than normal this morning. But this is heavy duty stuff. You know, I know, be nice to, I brought a big shot of feel good. I love that too. But when you see cancer spreading in the Christian community, and listen, we've got to navigate these months ahead of us really well as the body of Christ. And let's be true to what God's called us to do and who God's called us to be. And let's do it in a way that Jesus can say yes and amen to it. Let's spend time in the Word so that we can properly discern the things that are confronting us that we have to deal with? And let me tell you something, parents. You know, make sure your kids are here this week if at all possible. Please be teaching your children at home. The world has got it in high gear indoctrinating our kids. And what they get at church is very needful here, but it's not enough. You've got to be diligent at home to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because if you don't, some slick, two-legged, fork-tongued devil will come and lay out something before them that tickles their ears and gives them a license to live and do anything they want to do and actually feel good about it. And their conscience can become seared and their heart become hardened, and they may end up living in sin and thinking everything's cool with the Lord. And listen, that can happen when you do your very best. It's a battlefield, brother. That's the reason Paul started this section about endure hardships as a good soldier. There's a battle, and it's over the generations. It's over your family line. It's over our children. It's over our grandchildren. It's important who our leaders are. But let me tell you something. Even if all the right leaders are in place, and I want them to be, and I much prefer it to be, but if we think that's the answer, we're still missing the boat. We got to have Jesus Christ. We got to have people that are living by the Word. We need a revival. We need an awakening. We need a move of God's Spirit. And oh, God, may you help us to be a place where people are getting saved, getting healed from their diseases, delivered from their demons, baptized in the Holy Ghost power and fire, and lit up for Jesus. Where our homes honor the Lord and we're walking in victory. Would you stand with me, please? Our worship team is coming. Our prayer team members are coming forward. And I would ask you, do you have the assurance that you're a child of God? God knows who are His. Is His Spirit bear witness with you this morning that you are a child of God? If not, I encourage you to give your life to Jesus Christ today and settle it once and for all. It's a solid foundation. And listen, as saints, we still can struggle with sin. We still have areas that we're trying to overcome. Understand that. So we need to be in the Word. We need to be changing from who we are today to someone more glorious, someone stronger tomorrow, someone with more faith tomorrow. And that's not going to happen if we're not getting in the Word and staying in the Word and walking in the Word, living in the Word. Make a commitment today. You can do that in your heart right where you're standing right now. But I encourage you, if God's by His Spirit is beckoning you to come for prayer this morning, whatever it may be, people are here that will love you. And listen, after everything I've said, these doors are open for anyone who wants to come and be in our worship services. We want people to be in the atmosphere where God is being worshipped and where the Word is being preached. Amen? We don't want to have a we're better than other people attitude. We're just thirsty people who's found the water. Hungry people who's found the bread. Bound people who found the one who can break the chains. We're not better than anybody else. We've just been adopted into God's family, and we've got the answer they're looking for. Bow your heads for a moment. Just step out from where you are if you need prayer, if you want to give your life to Jesus. You may need to recommit your life this morning. You may have never been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you come Have someone lay hands on you and pray for you. If you've got sickness in your body and you need prayer for that, come right now. We'll lay hands on you and believe for God to touch you and heal you. If you're struggling in any area, we'll pray with you. We'll love on you. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. The weight of that sin can be broken off. You can be freed up. Have peace. Have joy. Lord, in the weightiness and gravity of this moment, we confess we live in a culture that's moving away from God. But we also confess we want to be a people who are moving closer and closer in every way to you, O Lord. We come into your throne room now, that the throne room of grace and mercy, and ask for that grace and that mercy to help us today in our time of need. And Lord, you know what every person here needs this morning. I just ask that your grace and your mercy would be given now. And I remind you how much God loves you. He's gracious to you. He's merciful to you. He's patient towards you. Open your heart to receive from Him what you need to take your next step in your journey. Would you come? If you need prayer, would you come right now to step out from where you are? We're going to begin to worship now. Have your way, Holy Spirit.
The more I seek you, the more I find you.
Very important moments right now. Have a yes in your heart.
The more I find you, the more I love you.
Would you come? Someone's here, you're having some pain, something's going on in your left kidney area, because I am sensing that in my body even right now. And I believe that to mean the Lord wants to touch you today. I encourage you to come, if that's you. Whatever's going on there, we just declare there's healing for you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Are there others? You come. You come. I feel like the Lord, this is just coming, so I'm going to say it. You used to swing a mighty sword. You used to swing a sharpened sword. You used to use the two-edged sword. But you've laid it down. You've laid it down. You put it in its sheath. You've laid it aside. Today I'm calling you to pick up your swords. Pick up your swords, for it is still sharp. Pick up your swords. Begin to engage the enemy before you. Swing your sword. Swing the word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Swing your sword. I feel the Lord saying, swing your sword. Keep them sharp by spending time in the book. Swing your sword. You've been praying for things that will come to pass once you swing your sword. You've been trying to fight the battle without the sharpened sword in your hand. Swing your sword. The Spirit of the Lord says, blow the dust off the book. Open the pages of the book. Spend time in my book. Let me feed you. Let me strengthen you. Let me increase the power in your life. The entrance of my word will give you light. You'll see what you need to see. You'll get the direction that you're searching for. Swing your sword. Open the book. And I will use you. I will speak to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ask for them, make that commitment. Make that commitment in Jesus' name. Are there others that need to come? Holy Spirit, have your way. I pray for the awakening of hunger, Lord, for your book. I pray for courage and boldness to come upon us, Lord, to use our swords in the name of Jesus. Once again, be filled with the Holy Spirit of boldness. Be filled this morning, anew and afresh, be filled. Are there others you come? I want to sit at your feet. Of ice, and I'm feeling like the Lord is saying, as you begin to swing, I just see the chunks of ice being broken up and beginning to fall off of someone's life, someone that's grown cold. You got a burden for someone that's known the word, that has the word, they've grown cold, and it's like they're just not interested anymore. Begin to swing your sword. Begin to pray. Begin to declare the promises of God over their lives, and watch the Spirit of God to move and break through that coldness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I just sense the Lord's really wanting to do some supernatural things in families here this morning. Just get into a place of agreement. Really, pray even if it's just for a few moments. Intensely pray. Lord, give me what I need for my family, for my home, for this situation. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to begin to release scriptures to you. He's going to bring promises before you. He's going to remind you of prophetic words. There's going to be a stirring up that's going to release some supernatural activity. Lord, we just ask for that this morning. May we right now press in for just a moment or two. What's a few moments if someone's life might be changed? In the name of Jesus, press into that. Can we switch to some kind of warfare sound for a moment? Just a moment before we go. Let's just get some kind of warfare sound going. Just something that is going to call the warriors to attention with our swords in hand, to do some battle. Let's get a little militant here before we head to the house. Let's believe it's going to be a week of breakthrough. It's going to be a week when the warriors go to battle. It's going to be a week of praying in tongues. It's going to be a week of declaring the promises. It's going to be a week of seeing breakthrough. declare the word of the Lord that the breakthrough is coming. We pray specifically this morning for those that are bound in these alternate sexual lifestyles. We declare in the name of Jesus there is going to be a breaking through for numbers of them into God's destiny, God's gender for their life. Lord, we pray for breakthrough. Breakthrough in the home. Breakthrough in family. Breakthrough. 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 We're going to swing our sword.
We're going to swing our sword.
Altar's open if you need